40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for Queen of Katwe. It's a new Disney movie about Ugandan chess prodigy Fiona Mutesi, and it has its premiere here in the United States on Friday. The movie was recently screened at the Toronto Film Festival in Canada, and it's generating buzz both for its subject matter and its non-Caucasian cast. My Voice of America colleague Paul Andijo tells us more about Queen of Katwe.
The new uplifting drama, Queen of Katwe, starring Lupita Nyong'o and David Oyelowo, had its premiere nearly 2 weeks ago at the Toronto International Film Festival. The film follows a Fiona Mutesi who is living in poverty with her siblings and mother, played by Oscar-winning Lupita Nyong'o in the Katwe slum until she stumbles across a chess class run by charity worker Robert Katende, played by David Oyelowo.
It's very important to me, especially considering the subject matter. I think, you know, a young girl whose talent otherwise would remain unseen if my character didn't come along. That's not only is it great that Robert Katende did what he did in real life, but that this story now has a worldwide potential audience is a great thing as well.
Despite hardships, Fiona Mutesi's ability to play chess is amazing, and her journey to international stardom is incredible. Her big break came when a Sports Illustrated writer Tim Clothers wrote a book titled The Queen of Katwe, describing Fiona's life. Lupita Nyong'o shared the unique experience of playing the chess champion's mother.
I learned a lot about motherhood. I'm not a mother, and I had to play a mother, and I learned what it takes, what it takes to, like, provide for your family and be concerned about so many people's well-being. It's almost like your heart is dislocated and it's running around, and just feeling the fear, just inhabiting the fear of a mother letting her chicks out every day to survive.
Award-winning director Mira Nia explains her decision to take on the project.
When I heard the story of Fiona and met her, it's pretty inspiring. And I sort of used it as a way to use my locations I love, the music, you know, seeing the country from within, feeling the dignity and the kind of complete joy, even during the best of struggles, you know. And that's sort of is to make a story without sentiment, but with truth. And truth is very funny and stylish and sassy in Katwe.
In addition to all accolades, Fiona Mutesi has traveled the world to meet her hero, chess grandmaster Garry Kasparov. Inspired by her example, Ugandan children are now taking up chess classes like never before. Voice of America was one of the first international media organizations to bring Fiona Mutesi's story to light nearly 4 years ago. Paul Ndiho, VOA News, Washington.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you later Wednesday night at 18:30 GMT UTC with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. Ugandan athlete David Emong won the silver medal in the men's 1500 meters race at the recent Paralympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Now that Emong has returned to Uganda, many are wondering how his performance might impact sports and disability advocacy. Elizabeth Pola has more from the capital, Kampala.
Ugandan sports fans went wild when, with only 37 seconds left in a four-minute race, runner David Emong blasted into second place, earning him a silver medal. The only athlete representing Uganda in Rio's 2016 Summer Paralympics inspired proud posts on social media from President Yoweri Museveni and sports associations across the country. It's an especially poignant win for Emong, coming from a country where stigmatization of people with disabilities is rampant. Returning from Rio, he was greeted by his family, the Ugandan Paralympic Committee, Sports Council, and numerous disabled athletes. Covered in garlands upon his arrival, Emong says the reaction he has received from Ugandan sports officials is wonderful.
I work very hard to pave a way forward now for other upcoming athletes that is now they're behind me. And I thank those who have been prayed for me. I thank also the National Council of Sport for supporting me and other members that have been giving me support. But my dream now to bring now the gold medal for my country.
Emong started running in primary school after his arm was permanently injured and largely immobilized in a schoolyard accident. He says that although he was sometimes mocked, he never gave up on life. Rather, he kept going, competing, and often winning against able-bodied athletes. He says he hopes his win inspires more kids with disabilities to join athletics.
The model of the disability, I really expect more people to come in through the organization to inject some money so that the people, my fellow athletes, go and qualify and we go and bring more medal.
Uganda Paralympic team member Innocent Tumwesiji says he has high hopes funding will increase in the wake of Emong's win.
I hope this has started our chapter for Uganda disability sports, because this is what we have been waiting to see. Because remember we had also the General Secretary of National Council of Sports, he was with us full time. Then we sat down and said, let's go and support, because he said, in his words, he's going to support also disability sports as he has been doing to the general sports.
Yeah.
Because I've seen there is a lot of potential. So I'm sure we expect a lot.
Emong says he looks forward to competing in the 2018 Commonwealth Games, saying his work is not done until he brings Uganda the gold. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Elizabeth Pola in Kampala.
Olympic wrestling champion Helen Maroulis of the USA celebrated her 25th birthday on Monday, about 1 month after she won the gold medal in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Helen chatted with me recently from her birthplace of Rockville, Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as Helen tells us she's very proud of her Greek heritage.
My dad was born in Greece, and if you know anything about Greeks, they're proud. Whether you're 50% or 100%, you're going to be a proud Greek. And all my family in Greece, they're super excited for me. And my dad's from this really tiny island, and I got the crazy Greek grandma that cooks food and forces you to eat and would not let me say no. I mean, I'm like, the hardest part maybe might have been worrying about if I was going to ruin my relationship with her, because it was just, I'd go to her house and she'd put plates of cookies and food and everything on, and I'm like trying to explain to her what a diet is. I'm trying to explain to her like that my work requires me to lose weight, and she just, I can't even say she didn't get it. She did get it. She just didn't care. She's like, no, you have to eat. Five cookies won't make you gain any weight. And I'm like, that's, yes, it will. So that was very, very difficult. And but after now, I brought the medal over to her house, and she was screaming, Panda Axia, and then fed me. So I'm like, now I can eat. So it was awesome.
So if you have your grandmother around over the next 4 years, you might be maybe wrestling at a higher weight class in Tokyo?
Yep, I'm going to wrestle up, and I'm going to take a break. And this year for Christmas, I will definitely eat my grandma's food. I'm trying to get back into her good graces. So that's what I'm blaming my weight gain on.
For our VOA listeners, you wrestled in Rio at 53 kilos. Correct me if I'm wrong, Helen. That's about 117 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking ahead, do you think you'll stay at that weight class or maybe go up a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not going to stay at that weight class. It's not... It's not realistic for me to stay on that, like, day after day after day, like, or year after year, I mean. I'm not making any final decisions about what weight I'll go for 2020. That's 4 years away. I don't know yet. So, I mean, we'll see. And if there's anything I've seen, it's your body can fluctuate tremendously. I've been 13% body fat at 59 kilos a couple months ago, and then it's like, well, that's great. I feel great. I look great. But this wasn't the weight class I planned to make. So, you know, it's almost like Plato, like, all right, how do I shape my body to fit a weight class that I need to make? And so I think I've learned for myself that I can do that. So I would love to try and get back to that point where I'm lean and big and strong for the 58 weight class. And for all I know, maybe actually relaxing for a couple of years will just kind of help my body to stabilize. And that might be at a lower weight, that might be higher. So I'm going to make the decision based on what's best for my body, and to think that I know what that is right now without training or anything, just wouldn't be smart to make that call.
I'm talking with Olympic champion wrestler Helen Maroulis of the USA. Helen, you mentioned your Greek heritage, and you know Greece has such a great relationship with first the Olympics, but also just with sports and wrestling overall. I think wrestling is probably one of the original Olympic sports, you know, thousands of years ago. Does that make it more special in some way?
I think wrestling, you know, to me, when I think of the Olympics, I always think of wrestling first just because it was the oldest sport. And I actually, when they dropped wrestling from the Olympics, we went to Greece and we wrestled in ancient Olympia. And I was one of the first females to wrestle on the ancient Olympic grounds. And they brought a mat and they put it out in ancient Olympia, and they had a tournament there. And so that was really amazing to be a part of, and just to learn, you know, they gave us a tour of the ancient Olympic grounds, and they just taught us about the history of the Olympics and what it meant, you know, how it was a time for peace, and it was just amazing. So to know about it from that extent, it makes it, you know, very special.
There was another report I read, Helen, that said you were considering getting dual citizenship with Greece and the USA. Is that still in the works, or is that on hold?
That had nothing to do with the Olympics. That has nothing to do with wrestling in the Olympics. That's just something that I've always wanted to do. And, you know, my father's full Greek, and I'm 50%, so I just always grew up hearing from my family, oh, why don't you get dual citizenship, you know, faster airport lines, or, you know, you can come here and things like that. And so in the same way I've wanted to study abroad in Greece for most of my life, I just, you know, that's always been something. So that's kind of unrelated to the Olympics, and that is something that I would still like to do and plan to do.
That's Olympic wrestling champion Helen Maroulis of the USA. And Helen was speaking with me from her birthplace of Rockville, Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C.
I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
fans, this is Sonny Young. We're live. Welcome back to Studio 22. I'm here with Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. Lots trending in the sports world. Tell our VOA listeners and Facebook Live friends about it.
Well, I want to start with this video, and I don't know if you've talked about this yet, but we talked about yesterday America Ferreira doing her triathlon and then going right to that Emmys party, and we're saying that intersection of kind of sports and entertainment. Well, this is another great one, this video, where, and I forget her name, if you scroll up there on our
Jessie Groff,
and she was on, what is it, American Ninja Warrior, I believe it's called, where you compete in the obstacle course, and doing this amazing backflip on the red carpet.
Let's check it out, Andrew. Our Voice of America listeners can check out this video at my Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sonny. And let me set it up a little bit for you. Jessie Groff, as Andrew mentioned, is a professional stunt woman, but she does have a sporting background. She was a champion pole vaulter in college, and she also has black belts in two martial arts, Taekwondo and Kung Fu. So she's a very versatile athlete, but check this out. She's on the red carpet. She's wearing a red dress, and we'll check out her backflip.
And this is amazing, not just because she does the backflip, which is in and of itself amazing, but she does it in a full ball gown, which is, adds another element to this. And then when she's done with the backflip, as you see here, not a hair out of place. Everything is perfectly, coiffed and everything. So much credit to her for that. It's really a cool moment. It's gone kind of viral now. People saying, how often do you see a celebrity do a backflip? Maybe they try to backflip out of some hard questions from the press on the red carpet, but never actually an actual backflip on the red carpet.
And I love how she gives that little swirl of her gown at the end, kind of like, take that,
yeah,
check that out.
Flourish at the end. I think it's one that's well deserved for sure.
And my videographer this evening, Bill Werkinger, very versatile himself. He's also our producer this evening. And Bill points out that Jessie Groff in this video is wearing high heels, Andrew. I don't think that's typical for that type of maneuver, to do a backflip in high heels.
I would say not, and it's, I trying to compete in American Ninja Warrior in any of that kind of outfit. It's an American Ninja Warrior show. Sometimes you have people that compete in these costumes and things. I don't think anyone's done it in a ball gown or high heels, but I think she could be the first to do it because she's amazingly talented and amazingly athletic, for sure.
Yes, athletic for sure. Jessie Groff, you're getting props on the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook Live. Jessie, maybe we'll see her in the next Superman movie. I know she's done some movies. She's very interesting personality.
Yeah, I hope so.
Got to get
so.
Her on the show, Andrew.
We got to work on that. That's going to, I don't know if we have enough room in Studio 22 here for a backflip, but maybe we can make it work somehow for sure.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, I have a couple stories about Paralympians. Of course, we've been talking about the Paralympics just wrapping up in Rio. And so I want to start with a Paralympian, a bronze medalist, Tyrone Pillay from South Africa. He's missing a leg, and he, as I said, won that bronze medal. But then he had a problem when he was heading back to his home country on South African Airways, specifically that they would not allow him to bring his prosthetic leg on board the plane. Now, it's unclear exactly why that is, and the airline is trying to walk this back now, but Tyrone Pillay tweeted about this. He said, "Worst airline to fly South African Airways. Terrible treatment of a Paralympic athlete as the staff refused to allow my prosthetic leg on board." So a lot of people are looking at this, and they're coming away with two different things. First, they're saying, it's terrible that they're treating an athlete like this, and it's a horrible story, looking at just this news and following along with the Twitter conversation. But then you're also seeing a lot of people on social media kind of mobilizing around this. There was one person that tweeted out and said that his disabled son had poor service from airlines. Glad you're using clout to educate them. Thanks. So it's bringing in a lot of people who are facing disabilities or whatnot that have been mistreated by airlines, and not specifically South African, but just any travel experience. They're kind of mobilizing them on social media. So it is doing some good for sure. Now, I do want to say that South Africa Airlines, they said, we request that you please DM us and let us know what happened. So they are on the case. I haven't read anything yet as to how they're going to resolve this, if they've issued an apology or anything like that, but they are on the case. And that's another way that, you know, we see, out even outside of the sports world, people using social media. They tweet at these, you know, whether it's an airline or a, you know, a delivery service or what have you, and say, hey, I have a problem. And they're usually very quick to respond. So certainly in this case, because he is a Paralympian, he does have that clout and does have image and say as an athlete, a worldwide athlete, they're able to address that.
Andrew, a couple of quick comments from our Facebook Live friends. Luis Piazet, my Brazilian buddy down in Rio de Janeiro, he watched that Jesse Groff video, and Luis must have broke out his ruler because he says she was wearing 5-inch high heels. 5-inch high heels, so watch out. Backflip with 5-inch high heels. And also we have some comments from Thomas Ronaldo. Thomas Ronaldo, and I think Ronaldo is sign of kind of a pseudonym, because I'm looking at his page right now, and he has the soccer star Ronaldo as his cover.
Are they friends on Facebook? Because that might be, you know, maybe it's like his cousin or something.
But
Who knows? He just says
simply nice. He thought it was a nice video, and he enjoyed it. We all enjoyed it.
Yeah.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we'll stick with the Paralympians, but we'll start actually the story with Team USA, the U.S. national hockey team, losing last night 4-2 to Team Canada in the World Cup of Hockey. So by losing to Canada, the U.S. is now eliminated from this competition. And you had a Paralympian weighing in, Josh Pauls, who is on the U.S. national sled hockey team.
Mm.
He had this scathing tweet for the U.S. You know, there's been a lot of frustration with the U.S. men's hockey team, the international hockey team, saying that they haven't performed as well as they should be doing on the world stage. And so he had this scathing tweet, and he says, "Really glad I was born without legs. The U.S. sled team has a much better track record of success than the U.S. stand-up men's team." Scathing tweet from him after that loss to Team Canada, calling him out on that. But you know, it just goes to show that as much as we talk about Paralympians and saying, you know, they're in a different realm because of their disabilities, or that they can't compete. We talked about this just with the men's 1500 in the Paralympics. The top four finishers in the Paralympic 1500 would have won gold, all of them. They all beat the gold medal winner in the Olympic 1500. So it just, you know, this is kind of emblematic of that. Even though Paralympians are facing challenges, they can overcome them and sometimes be better than athletes who don't face those physical challenges.
And keeping with our Paralympic theme this evening, Andrew, earlier in the show, you mentioned that men's 1500 meters race at the Paralympics. We heard from David Among from Uganda, who won the silver medal in Rio, and reporter Elizabeth Pola had a nice report during the program. And Elizabeth points out that she thinks Among will do a lot to promote disability sports in Uganda. So we thank Elizabeth for that report, and kudos to David Among. And I hope Uganda will have more Paralympians in Tokyo in 2020. He was basically a one-man team there in Rio. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, the other trending story we have is Larry Brown. So our listeners might know that name, a famous college basketball coach here in the U.S., very well known. Was most recently a coach at Southern Methodist University, but really, you know, has been all over at the University of Kansas. I'm a big Jayhawks fan, so I remember Larry Brown's time there, and he's coached in the NBA as well. So he's done everything. He's went to college, he's coached NBA, but he's never coached high school, and he's apparently going to try to do that on Long Island. We'll see if it happens.
We'll see if it happens. Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, we'll see you on Thursday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the September 21st edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer, videographer, all-around good guy, Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in and viewing in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. The U.S. government and our partners welcome the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission's investigations into the distribution of food assistance along political party lines. As the largest contributor to humanitarian assistance in Zimbabwe, the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, has robust mechanisms in place to ensure that U.S. food assistance goes only to those most in need. While the report did not cite any complaints regarding USAID-funded humanitarian assistance, we are redoubling our efforts to reconfirm and ensure that our assistance is not subject to any form of political manipulation. Since June 2015, the U.S. government has contributed $117 million in response to the El Niño-induced drought in Zimbabwe to meet immediate food security needs, while also building resilience against future droughts. The majority of USAID's food assistance is provided through the World Food Program, or WFP, which does not operate in any of the districts cited in the report. USAID does provide food assistance in Bikata through a long-term food security activity, enhancing nutrition, stepping up resilience and enterprise, ENSURE, implemented by World Vision. ENSURE has numerous oversight mechanisms in place to receive and investigate reports of fraud and abuse, but has not received any reports of diversion of food aid or undue pressure on their staff. The U.S. government has rigorous processes for safeguarding food assistance. Our food commodities can be distinguished from other sources by their packaging, which is marked with the American flag and USAID logo. USAID also channels all food through WFP and other non-governmental organizations, and the food goes directly to the beneficiaries with no intermediary. USAID and our partners have robust measures in place to carefully and thoroughly monitor food distribution. This includes verifying transparent targeting of beneficiaries, ensuring smooth distribution of the food, and following up after distribution to ensure that the food reached its intended beneficiaries. Most importantly, these measures allow community members to report grievances or complaints in a direct or anonymous manner. There is a suggestion box and a help desk at all food distribution points, as well as a toll-free hotline. USAID takes our responsibility to assist those most in need, regardless of political affiliation or geographic location, very seriously, and will continue to actively investigate any and all reports of possible political manipulation of U.S. government food assistance.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, the 71st United Nations General Assembly is underway in New York, including a first-of-its-kind summit of heads of state and government to address large movements of refugees and migrants with the aim of bringing countries together behind a more humane and coordinated approach. We'll discuss that and other issues next, right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
And AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.